This conference will now be recorded.
It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor. Peter Mantis serves as a general partner of Toronto-based investment firm Logos LP. Previously, he held various economic research positions at the Export Development Bank of Canada, Statistics Canada, and other various federal government departments. Peter has both an LLB and BCL from McGill University's Faculty of Law. Prior to studying law, he obtained an honors baccalaureate in commerce, magna cum laude, from the University of Ottawa, Telfer School of Management. On behalf of the MY Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Peter. Please go ahead. And if you would just unmute your line.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me. I'd like to thank you for giving me the privilege to present at the Wide Moat Investing Summit on a day when the market is surging. So I will be taking a little bit of a different approach to the presentation. I've decided to choose one particular stock that's caught our attention over the past few months. And so I'll be doing it on a company called Zscaler. And the title of the presentation is How Secular Tailwinds and Strong Economics Create Value for a Potential Multibagger. I won't spend too much time on the presentation as I'd love to give some time to the questions. So I will go through what exactly the company does, its solutions and products, the current market landscape that it operates in, as well as some of the risks and investment thesis overall for the company. So what does Zscaler do? Zscaler is a cybersecurity company, one of the newer cloud-based cybersecurity vendors that IPO'd, I believe, in 2015. They protect inbound and outbound gateways for enterprises. The easiest way to think about it is imagine Zscaler as the off-ramp when you're about to access cloud applications for large enterprises. So the bulk of the revenues derive from two main sources. The first is Zscaler Internet Access, which effectively protects users when accessing applications in the cloud, and Zscaler Private Access, when I will get into Zscaler Private Access in a moment. The revenue split is around 80-20 ZIA to ZPA or 85-15. So what does ZIA do? ZIA, like I said before, protects users connecting to applications and protects the overall network. So it monitors and secures users accessing those applications, both inbound, outbound, making sure that nothing really gets through or leaves the organization. So there's malware protection and endpoint protection as well. And it effectively sits in between the user and the internet. Like I said before, think of it as if you're driving down the highway, Zscaler is the off-ramp before you get onto the applications that will be sitting in the enterprise's cloud. ZPA, on the other hand, is, and I will touch a bit about it later on, but it's a whole new way where organizations can access corporate networks remotely. So it really is meant to effectively replace VPN. In a traditional VPN, you would have data centers, corporate networks with legacy appliances, and users would have to log in to these through these appliances to get access to the entire corporate network. What ZPA does is, this is a software solution in the cloud that taps into a database and does application segmentation, meaning Peter can only access these three applications remotely. So what are some of the product advantages of Zscaler? So again, it's a full cloud deployment, unlike legacy competitors that utilize virtual and physical appliances. And I'll talk about the competition a little later. Full scalability can add customers easily or users easily and instantly. They have over 100 data centers around the world, so there's complete redundancy and latency. Purpose-built cloud, protecting the organization with full security stack. So they have URL filtering, DNS security policies. So, you know, can I, should I be able to access certain applications or not? Data loss protection as well. There's the ease of deployment, and there's significant cost savings. A lot of organizations, especially the Fortune 500, they spend a significant amount of their expense budget on updating their data networks, their infrastructure, their corporate networks. And a lot of those legacy competitors are taking up a large chunk of those costs. And so Zscaler really transforms the way an organization would think about how much they should invest into, you know, their data centers or their private networks, because this is security is very sophisticated, but at the same time is such a much greater cost saving to the organization. Well, their CapEx actually comes down, and is actually more secure. And again, one of the other focus advantages of Zscaler is, as a company, is that they're really focused on what I like to call access security for the enterprise cloud. Other security vendors may have a broad range of services and solutions that they provide. Zscaler is really focused on these access security of these cloud applications that is going to transform the organization long run. So what's the current landscape? So cloud computing is not new. It's been around for 20 years. And at the beginning, when cloud computing really started to take off, organizations were quite reluctant to move a lot of applications to the cloud. Over time, a significant amount of organizations with sensitive operations are starting to move more and more what I like to call mission critical workflows to the cloud. So the most recent example is National Security Agency in the United States moved some mission critical workflows to AWS. A lot of large organizations which are going to be deploying platform as a service or infrastructure as a service or IoT deployments or sophisticated mobile deployments, they're starting to move those deployments to the cloud. So that their end team of engineers and consultants and professional service employees can access those applications to ensure that the company is achieving the digital transformation that they would like to achieve. So in the first sort of cloud phase in the market that we saw was the adoption of cloud, you know, Azure, Oracle, AWS, right? These are not new things. The second wave is the exponential growth of these applications in the cloud and the transformation of mission critical workflows from legacy data centers or corporate networks to the cloud. And that will continue to grow over time. And as that grows over time, especially as this cloud applications and technologies accessing the cloud become more sophisticated, that more security will be needed, particularly when accessing these applications in the cloud. So internal applications will continue to play a major, major role of the enterprise's capabilities, and it will be a significant investment going forward for the next 10 to 15 years. So what are the risks in competition around Zscaler? So the biggest risk they face are from legacy competitors. The three main ones are Cisco, Check Point, and Palo Alto. A lot of these legacy competitors had a similar birth than Zscaler, where there was tremendous growth in the late 90s or mid 90s or early 2000s. And now they've become, you know, more cash flow businesses. Check Point, Cisco, these are large organizations with very visible cash flow, very visible revenue. So that creates very visible resources. So a lot of organizations with legacy data centers or networks that require endpoint security or spend tens or hundreds of millions on appliances each year, you know, they see on their invoice Cisco or Check Point or Palo Alto. And, you know, when you have such a trust with that organization, like a Cisco, it becomes difficult to you know, entrust the new kid on the block. Luckily for Zscaler, They're one of the best cloud security vendors on the market right now. They have a patent on virtually almost all their products. They're very scientific and technical in their solutions, unlike a lot of other cybersecurity, new cybersecurity vendors. And they take pride in their engineering prowess. They're really known for their best-in-class engineering when it comes to accessing the internet or inbound gateways for the cloud. As I mentioned before, although these organizations are facing sunk costs where, you know, they've built up these data centers, they've built up technologies to monitor URL filtering or malware or endpoint detection or inbound and outbound gateways, a lot of these legacy organizations, they still want to have that piece of the business. So transitioning into Zscaler's model, although I think will be inevitable, there's still some time before that happens. And the other elephant in the room is the large cloud vendors. It's not too much of a stretch for Microsoft, which is a hyperscale cloud vendor, to enter into this security market, especially in multi-tenant security. So this is another issue where a company, in fact, the largest tech company with almost unlimited resources, whether they will enter into this kind of access security market, especially given the long tailwind of cloud applications going forward. So what's the investment thesis? It's fairly straightforward from our perspective. There's a significant secular growth story here. Like I said before, cloud computing isn't new, but the transformation to the enterprise with cloud-based architecture for mission-critical workflows will grow exponential. So despite resources, legacy competitors face significant opportunity costs, and to transition into Zscaler's model will take years and a significant amount of focus, where Zscaler's already had a large head start. And they also lack the expertise and the patents that Zscaler has. The other thing too is ZPA, which is their effective VPN replacement, has not been material and can completely displace VPN networks over time. If enterprises are shifting to cloud-based architectures, this may create an opportunity for ZPA to effectively control the network. So imagine down the line if this segmentation of applications for users through ZPA, imagine internet security being controlled in this particular market by one company. They have security partnerships with Microsoft. Microsoft recognized early on of the prowess that Zscaler has, and they have they are a partner network, AWS as well. So that does reduce a bit of the vendor risks. And then finally, relating to the business, we have fully recurring revenue, very complex software, sticky infrastructure software, very high free cash flow of sales, and growing rapidly. So in 2017, I believe it was 1% as they made significant capex, but that grew to over 12 last year, and we expect that to be double digits going forward as they continue to grow and reduce the amount of capex that's being required. Strong revenue growth and gross margins as well. So last quarter, they reported 61% increase in revenue, gross margins 82%. It is a potential acquisition target because, again, of its focus in the market and because of how well they've been able to execute. And then being it a software company, it naturally will have a defensive nature given its security and very complex and sticky infrastructure software. So therefore, there will be high returns on capital. It's in the clouds, and less cost versus other security vendors. And there's, of course, the network effects, which make unit economics very favorable. So no matter what the investment thesis may be or that story, there's always going to be the price paid. So, I mean, at the time that I wrote this presentation, it was a little over 33 times sales. I think it's closer to 35 now. We believe that Zscaler is on the high end and slightly overvalued, given the return on capital profile and the growth and that secular story that we believe is, you know, for a decade and over. However, given the current market cycle and execution, we don't see true signs of excess just yet. Probably see that as slightly overvalued or a little bit on the expensive side. Free cash flow grew from $2 million to over $31 million in 1 year. We expect $55 by the end of the year. Book value per share is also growing tremendously. So it was at $2 at the beginning of last year, and then $2.23 by the end of 2018. So we expect close to $4 by the end of the year. So with gross margins at 84% and a 32 to 34 price to book range, which may be higher or lower depending on what interest rates do and what the demand for sticky secular growth names is, we expect it to touch close to $120 a share. That's the presentation. Are there any questions regarding Zscaler?
Peter, thank you so much for the presentation. It sounds like they have plenty of reinvestment opportunities in the business, but if you could just expand a little bit more on the topic of capital allocation, that would be great. Do you expect them to retain all the capital for the foreseeable future, and where do you think it gets deployed?
I think in the short term, there's a level of education in the market for the solutions, particularly around ZPA. I don't think that organizations will displace VPN through their ZPA solution anytime soon. And I think their ZIA solution, although there's a significant runway, does have slightly longer sales cycles because you do have organizations that have invested hundreds of millions, maybe billions, in their own IT infrastructure, which they've had since the 90s or 80s. So a lot of what I think the allocation will be towards revenue growth. So investing in the business, hiring more account managers, increasing the SG&A line of the balance sheet, or of the income statement rather, you know, to get out there in the market, to continue to talk to CTOs and CIOs in order to show the benefits of what Zscaler does. The market's starting to realize the business opportunity and the real use cases that it's solving, from clients like Concho Resources to, you know, Anheuser-Busch. But I think over the next little while, the allocation will be towards growth to attain more market share of the Fortune 2000. And then I think the second aspect will be around expanding their ZPA platform to effectively use that as a complement, or at least a replacement of some sort, for corporate VPNs. I think maybe in, you know, 10 years or longer, the price of sales may come down to what Checkpoint might be, like a 9, 10, 11 times sales, or 8, depending on what interest rates do. And there may be more focus on acquisitions, potentially return of capital. But right now, I think in the short term, it's certainly about executing their ZIA and educating the market of the benefits of their ZPA.
Could you elaborate on the management team and their incentives, please?
Sure. I mean, like any technology company, there's a lot of stock options outstanding for a lot of the talent that they have. The CEO was part of the founder, very well-educated guy. We think the stewardship for management is there, is standard. Compensation is in line with other tech vendors. We do find management slightly more humble versus other software companies that we've studied in the past. You know, we believe that they are aligned with shareholders and know exactly where they are in the market. we do pay attention, obviously, to dilution of stock options and how that may impact equity being issued. But we don't see any concern regarding management and their plans for the company.
And Peter, what would be some key data points to track over time to either validate or challenge your thesis?
I think some of the data points will be revenue growth and gross margin. If gross margin starts to come down a little bit, if revenue growth isn't consistent to what we expect it to be, then there may be twofold issue, which is maybe the market isn't, although they've gained some traction in the market regarding their ZIA platform, it may take longer than we thought. And if gross margin comes down, then we start to be a little bit concerned as to, okay, is there increased competition somewhere, or is there an erosion of their moat given, the growing moat given increased costs without having that requisite revenue growth. So if we start to see declines in those areas, then we start to question what may be going on. But overall, if those stay steady, then the story is really just about execution and the continued development of their ZIA and ZPA platforms.
Terrific. Well, I'll leave it there. I would just like to encourage our members to feel free to follow up with you directly with any further thoughts or questions. Of course, we're happy to facilitate an introduction as well. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time to be here and share this investment thesis with us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Goodbye for now.